Exodus chapter 1, verse 22 through Exodus chapter 2, verse 10. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every boy that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of the Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her attendants walked along beside her. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to the Pharaoh, the Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get a nurse from the Hebrew women? Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me. I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses because she said, "I drew him out of the water." May God bless the reading and receiving of His word.
Good morning. I want to thank Steve for allowing me to spend a few minutes with you guys this morning and talk about adoption. For those that didn't know, November is National Adoption Month. November 21st is National Adoption Day. And while I can't prove it, I have talked to Dr. Hearn. I've done research. But this is the first account or recorded adoption that I could find was the adoption of Moses. The Pharaoh's daughter did take Moses after he was a little older and raised him as her own son. He had all of the rights and privileges that were afforded a child that was born unto Pharaoh or his family. So he did get placed into a loving home and fulfilled the Lord's wish for him, because he was not sacrificed like the rest of the Hebrew children at that time. Now, in this particular instance, there's three things that make this adoption unique. And I don't know if any of you know that, what any of those may be. First, in biblical times, it was very unusual for a child to be adopted. Most of the adoptions in this point in time were older folks, older adults, or even families. And what would happen, there would be an older person getting on up in years who may not have any children to look after them, or maybe their children had passed on. So they would go and they would adopt an adult that would, in exchange for the inheritance, the older person would adopt them and bring them into their house, and they would take care of this older person later on in their life. Secondly, to be an adopter, you had to be a free male. And in this case, we see that it was the Pharaoh's daughter. So not only is this the first recorded adoption of a child, it's also an adoption by a woman and not of a free man. And then thirdly, this adoption was of a Hebrew child. So it was not of a like child for Pharaoh's daughter. So this was not a child, an Israelite, but actually a Hebrew child. So there were three things that were unique. Well, there's probably others, and Dr. Hearn could probably expand upon those, but those were the three that hit me. And I just wanted to share those, that this was a bit different. And it did open the way for God to work through Moses and free his children. The next question that I would have is, what is adoption? Adoption probably has different meanings to everyone. I mean, we go and we can adopt a highway and we keep the highway clean. We can take a child into our house and raise them as our own. It's the practice to take and use the Bible. We use the Bible as our scripture and our reference. We have adopted that book as special to us. But to me, adoption is love. It's complete, total, and unconditional love. And that's what we saw in this passage in Exodus that Chris read. We saw the love of this mother to sit there and put her own child in a basket and place this child in the river, knowing that God had a plan for him, and allowed this child to be spotted by Pharaoh's daughter. And Pharaoh's daughter took this child into her house and raised him as her own. So to me, there's no other word for adoption but love. Why adoption? There's a lot of reasons why a birth mother or a birth father may decide to do an adoption plan for a child. Some of them may be, while today they're not as extreme as this, to prevent this child from dying, but there's financial constraints. Maybe the birth parents cannot afford to raise that child. We know that we have unplanned teen pregnancies. That's the highest rate that it has ever been. And it allows these children that are having children to go on and fulfill their needs and grow up and go to school and take care of their lives. There are people that are physically not able to care for a child. And so for whatever reason, they choose to go through an adoption plan and allow that child to go to a loving home. But the truth is, there's many different reasons for that, and we don't ever know those. And we always say, well, you know, if it was me, I could not go through the adoption process for my child. I could not let that child leave. But in this case, we saw where Moses' family, not just his mother, but there was his mother and father, and we know at least one brother and one sister at that time, and they all agreed that this process was what was best for them, to give this child a chance for life. And so while we may struggle and think, I could never do that, there's always circumstances that we do not know about. And so before we say, I couldn't do that, we need to step back and say, well, what are those circumstances? And make sure that we understand that this person is doing what they feel is right, not necessarily for them or just for them, but for them and this child. Next, what I wanted to do is, I talking to different people, and not necessarily folks in this church, because I do, I talk with folks at work, outside of work, outside of church. One of the first things that we do, if people say anything, oh, she's, and I guess to back up, for I know that most people in the church know, but for those that, of you that don't, Paige and I have a daughter, Addison, and she is adopted. We make sure that Addison knows that. We try to make sure that anyone that asks or says anything, we try to make sure that they know that she is adopted. That's not something that we want to hide from anyone, and especially from Addison. We let her know that she's adopted, and we plan to provide more details on that adoption as she grows older. But we try to keep it in line with her age. So we are very, I guess, very open in that aspect. But we also know that even though Addison was adopted, there is no doubt she was meant to be our daughter. I'm sorry. There's things that she does every day that reminds her of me, or reminds us of things that Paige does. She got here a different way, but she was intended to be our daughter. And so what I wanted to do, there is an insert in the bulletin, and it gives you statistics on the number of adoptions domestically and internationally on an annual basis or as of 2008. I don't want to go through this. I would like for each one of you to take this home and look it over. There's adoption resources on here that goes through adoption agencies. If anyone's considering adoption, if you know anyone, whether it be as an adoptive parent or as a birth mom or a birth family that's in trouble, there's numbers and agencies on here. But whether it's these agencies or others, please call and talk to someone. It's definitely worth the time. It touches your life in a way that words really can't explain. There are far more resources than what's listed on here. The only reason I limited it to the ones that are on here, these are the resources that we use not only when we were going through the process to adopt Addison, but I go back to these on a weekly basis. Some of these websites or magazines we refer to all the time. So take that, read over it, and if you know someone, please share this flyer with them. Now, what I would like to do is I wanted to give you a little bit of insight into what the adoption process is, because in my talks to people, there's several things that come out. One is a lot of people think that adoption is a simple process. You go to an adoption agency, you write a check, and basically you come home with a child. And that's the furthest thing from the truth. The adoption process is far more detailed. So I wanted to go through the timeline, and this is by no means a typical timeline that Paige and I went through in the process to adopt Addison. In the summer of 2006, Paige and I, and we had been talking about adoption for a while, and for a while I mean probably several years. But in the summer of 2006, probably July or so, we really got serious about it and felt like this is what God was asking us to do. So we contacted several adoption agencies, talking to the different representatives. I guess, and anyone that's served on committees with me will tell you that I'm a bit of a geek. I do have to do research on everything. I lay out in a spreadsheet. I lay out a timeline on what I'm going to do. So I started laying out the pros and cons of different agencies. I contacted DSS to find out if there would be any issues with agencies that contacted representatives and talked to them to find out which one we would feel most comfortable in dealing with. And that's how we came to the at the time it was Carolina Hope Christian Adoption Agency. They're now joined forces with Nightlife Christian Adoptions out of California. They have offices in, I believe it's 4 or 5 different states. But backing up, so July, August time frame of 2006, we decided to adopt, started looking into these agencies. In September, it would have been the week or two after Labor Day, we decided to go to the adoption agency, Carolina Hope. We went in and we sat down with the people, and we grew so comfortable in the decision or in the process and with the folks there, we decided to go ahead at that point in time and pursue adoption. And like, even though we had done a lot of research, like a lot of folks, we thought it was going to be a relatively quick and simple process until they hand us a book that's about this thick, that's nothing but paperwork. I mean, if you know what you had to go through, there's an application for the adoptive father. There's an application for the adoptive mom. You have to give your history from about 6 years from the time you were conceived until, you know, 20 years after you died, just so that they can figure out whether you're okay to be an adoptive parent. There is nothing in your life that is sacred from being reviewed in this process. You go through what your finances are. You go through what your annual income is, what you have in the bank, how much life insurance you have, what your savings are, your health. Any chronic health issues, they have to be disclosed. You have to get letters of health from any doctor that you're currently seeing. And then they turn around and they have a home study. They send a representative or a certified representative from the state to come out, look at your home, make sure that your home is suitable for a child. Then you have to take education classes. There's at least 10 hours of classes that you have to go through. They range from, you know, the overall adoption process, how to discipline children. They do offer classes on tax credits and different things like that. And so there's 10 hours of classes that are there. Some are offered on the internet that you can pay different places to go through. Some are self-guided. And then after that, you have to submit your fingerprints to the FBI. The FBI does a background check and a criminal history check to sit there and make sure that there's nothing in your background that would prevent you from being a good parent. And so they just keep, every time you think that they're through digging, they dig a little more. But in October of 2006, we did complete our home study and were approved for an adoption. And so we're sitting here. You have to create a portfolio, which is basically your life together in pictures and things like that. Well, I was going to let Paige do that. I'm not the... you're right, Mary. Well, we talked about this, and actually we never got to this point. In November 2006, Dr. Hearn lost his father. We went to North Carolina for the services. On the way back, we stopped to eat, and Paige's parents went with us. We all rode up together. On the way back, we actually got a phone call And we were informed that there was a baby boy that was either born or birth was imminent or whatever, and wanted to know if we would be interested in adopting this child. Well, we were informed that there was some drug use all through the pregnancy, and we were a little unsure about this. And so we said, we'll be home in a couple of hours, look it up on the internet, and do some research and to make sure that we felt comfortable with this. In the meantime, here again, how selfish we were, we called Dr. Hearn, knowing his background of having dealt with different things through the hospital and stuff, and seeking some advice from him. And I, to this day, I still feel that that was so selfish of us to call and talk to him, even though he tells me not to worry about it. But he was sitting there grieving over the loss of his father, and then Paige and I calling to talk to him about the possibility of something as joyous as bringing a new life into our family. And although I've said thank you, it seems like a million times, I can never express the gratitude that I have for Dr. Hearn in his talking to us and taking the time to counsel us during that time of grief for him. But as it turned out, we got home and we said, we looked it up and we called and said, yes, we would do this. We were told that the child had already been placed somewhere else. And Paige and I talked about it, and we felt that this was a test from God. We honestly felt that we were being asked, are you really committed to this? And once we said yes, that we would take this child, things fell into place. That was on a Saturday night. The following Wednesday, we get a phone call wanting to set up a interview with a birth mom and possibly have a match there. So we set up this phone call and we talked to this girl who was actually in Arizona at the time. We talked to her and through a social worker. It was actually a three-way call, and we talked for about an hour or so, and we felt real comfortable, and we hung up. The social worker called us back, and she said everything went well. She said we should hear something tomorrow. Well, Thursday comes, we don't hear anything. Friday comes, we don't hear anything. And I mean, every time the phone rings, you're on edge because you don't know you don't necessarily know who it is, and you're like, okay, it's going to be good news or it's going to be bad news or whatever. Saturday and Sunday came, we haven't heard anything. So finally on Monday, we start thinking it's not going to happen. We're not going to hear anything. It's going to be canceled. And then we finally get a phone call on Monday afternoon, and we're told that we have been selected to be the adoptive parents for this child, whom, as it turns out, is Addison. But come to find out, Addison's biological father was real abusive to Addison's mom. He was actually in jail at the time that we were talking to Addison's birth mother. He had escaped from jail either the night that we had talked with her or the following day, had gotten out, had found where Addison's biological mother was at the women's shelter. The police did capture him, but they had to move Amber to another woman's shelter and put her in lockdown for protective reasons, and so she wasn't able to get in touch with us. And after we found that out, I mean, we were very thankful that they did move her someplace that she was safe, and we understood why we hadn't heard anything. But it is a very stressful situation because you don't ever know. And so after that point in time, we started talking to Amber on a weekly basis. At first, it is very stressful because you're talking to someone that you don't know. You're talking to a person that you hope is going to follow through with an adoption plan, which for them means taking a life that they're responsible for and giving it to you. So in a lot of ways, you're feeling very selfish, but you also have this hope of being able to raise a child. So there are mixed emotions, but we talked on a weekly basis for the most part from December through April. I guess it was around February, we were informed that Amber was going to move back to California, where she grew up, and that's where she wanted to have the baby born. So she moved back there for about 2 months, and then I would say the end of March, we were told that there was going to be a planned C-section on April 14th, which was a Saturday. So we started making reservations for airlines, hotels, if we could find them or whatever. And so we decided we were going to fly out on Wednesday, April the 11th. Thursday, April 12th, I'm sorry. We were going to fly out. And that would give us a chance to get out there on Thursday afternoon, find a hotel to stay that was close to the hospital, and then chance to settle down, relax for a little bit, and then be ready to go to the hospital on Saturday. Well, we were leaving. We flew out of Nashville, and I guess just for anyone that may find this out in the future, it's very expensive to change airlines if you have to do so at the last minute. So we flew out of Nashville so that we could fly Southwest, on Southwest from Nashville to Sacramento, and then we were driving from Sacramento to Redding. And the reason for that is you buy a ticket on Southwest, even if you get the lowest fare, they have fares from $49 each way. If they have a seat that's open, that seat that's open on any flight after you book that ticket, you get it for that same rate. If not, you pay whatever the next seat price is, and most of their seats are $179 or less. So we decided we were going to fly Southwest Airlines out of Nashville because adoption is an expensive process. So Wednesday afternoon, we were leaving, and we stopped to get gas at one of the stations around the house, and Tracy stopped by to see us and saying goodbye and everything. And while Tracy was there, we got a phone call. It said Addison was going to be delivered Thursday morning. So then we start making phone calls. Can we get our money back from the airline? Can you give us another flight? If not, from Nashville, from Birmingham, from Raleigh, wherever. Well, we couldn't get that. So we left. We went by my mom and dad's. We ate supper. We then got back in the car and we drove on to Nashville. We went to the airport, found a hotel that was as close as we could get to the airport. We get to we check in, get a room, and call the airline back and say, well, can we fly any earlier the next morning? Well, we get there, we'll get a hold of them, and they said, well, the only thing that we can do, since it's such short notice, is we can let you fly standby. The flight is at 6 a.m. You'll need to be at the airport about an hour to an hour and a half early. So we got up the next morning, and believe me, Paige does not do well at getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning. We get up at 4 a.m., get ready, and get to the airport, and we walk up to the ticket counter. And this is the first indication that this child was meant to be ours. We walk up to the counter and ask to get on standby to go from Nashville to Chicago and Chicago to Sacramento. We're told that there's 2 seats on standby. And we were able to get the last 2 flights on that plane that morning. So we take the plane and we do our layover in Chicago and everything. We land at the airport. We're getting our rental car, and we're sitting there waiting on them to bring the car to us, and the phone rings. And it's the adoption agency, and they tell us that Addison's been born. Now, at this time, we don't know that it's Addison. Amber, the birth mom, had agreed to allow us to name the baby. So there was the adoption agency, and they called and said, the baby's been born, we need a name. And so Paige gives them the name that we had picked out for a girl and picked out for a boy, and reiterates the fact that we don't want to know, that we will find out when we get to the hospital. So she gives both names, and I mean, now we're in frantic pace because now the baby's been born and we're trying to get to the hospital, and we still have a 3-hour drive. We get everything, get in the car, and we're going as fast as we possibly can up through Northern California. They can have Hollywood. I mean, from Sacramento north, it is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, it's nothing but major expanses of farmland, olive groves, and then when you get up around Napa and stuff, the vineyards and stuff. It's a gorgeous place. But as we're driving, taking this 3-hour drive up through there, Paige asked me, says, "Well, what do you think it is? Is it going to be a little boy or a little girl?" And I paused for a second. I said, "It's a little girl." I said, "I know in my heart it's going to be a little girl." And we had no preference. I mean, we really don't. Whatever it would have been, we were totally happy with. And so we finally get there, and we get to the city, and we can see the hospital. The city's down in a little valley, and the hospital was up on a little hill. And I know you've probably heard the old saying, you can't get there from here. I know where it got its foundation, because you cannot get to that hospital from any place in that city. Luckily, we had borrowed a GPS from Brian and Tracy and were able to get to the hospital, and that was the only way you could find it. It was totally impossible to find your way around that town. But we finally get to the hospital, and we find the nurses, and we tell them what's going on. And I don't know how many adoptions that they've had at this hospital. I honestly think that we were the first, at least in the last 10 or 15 years, but we may have been the first one that they'd ever had there. But we finally find out where to go and the room to go to. And Paige goes, and she looks in the door, and she goes, "It's a little boy." And I said, "Okay." And then I go and I peek in the door, and there's a little pink tag above where the baby's head is supposed to be, and it says, "It's a girl." And what was confusing, I mean, it really looked like the blankets were, you know, everyone's seen the rolls of paper that you get like in grade school or whatever, where you pull it off and you rip it off and it's blankets, but it's pink and blue, and it just repeated the colors. And the blanket that they actually had on Addison was more blue, and so she thought it was a little boy. And so we walk into the room, and Amber's mother is holding Addison. Paige walked over, and and hugged Amber. And it took Amber's mother a little while, and she finally handed Addison to Amber. They talked to us, and I think probably that point in time was the second most awkward that I had felt in the entire process. They talked for a while, and then her parents left and just left us with Amber. And Amber was great. She let us use her room just as if it was ours. And we sat in there and talked to her, got to hold the baby. And a few minutes later, a social worker came in from the hospital, put a birth mother bracelet on Paige that would allow us to check her in and out, because there's security everywhere. I mean, there was if you took a cart past a certain area, or actually a child, because there was a radio identification in the band, the alarm would go off so that you couldn't steal a child. But it allowed Paige to take Addison out of the nursery, and so we were able to go to the waiting area, and we got to sit down, and that was the first time that we had a long time, just the three of us. And I know everyone that has children can't explain that, but and knows the feeling that I'm talking about, but that was like a long journey for us. I mean, because we had tried for several years to have children and were not able to. And then to get to that point to where you're holding your own child, it's not anything that words can really describe. Well, we had to leave Addison in the hospital overnight. She would have got to come home the next day, but her core temperature dropped. She had to stay an additional night. Well, Amber and Addison both checked out of the hospital on Saturday. And as they were checking out, I guess to back up, we were asked to bring an outfit for Addison to get her picture made in. And I know some folks here saw her picture on the web page and everything. Everything we took was newborn or 0 to 3 months. Addison weighed 4 pounds, 6 ounces when she was born. We actually have a picture where a pair of newborn pants are longer than Addison was. There was one preemie outfit for a little girl in Reading, and we bought that for her to get her picture made in. And anyone that had a little child before, you put it on her, what'd she do? She hadn't had it on 2 seconds, and she sped up on it. So we had no clothes for her to wear, so she looked like a hobo most of the time because all of her clothes were too big for her. As we were leaving on Saturday morning, Amber asked if we would go to church with her the next morning. One, so that she could show the folks at her church the child and give her a chance to say goodbye. And Paige and I agreed. And had it been anything else other than going to church, probably would have said no. But how do you say no to someone once you go to church who has given you such a tremendous gift? So we did go to church with her and let Amber's mother hold her the entire service. We sat with them and worshiped with them that day. The next day, there was a lawyer that came up from San Francisco who went and met with Amber at her mother's house. They went through all the paperwork, and this was the second most stressful day, or probably the first most stressful day out there. We kept getting phone calls from everyone. Has she signed the paper yet? Has she signed the paper yet? And the world's worst was Miss Harvey. But, you know, through the entire thing, Paige and I were so calm, because we honestly felt through the late relationship that we had built with Amber that Amber was not going to back out. And so we were confident, but the day got longer and longer and longer, so we started to get worried. And then finally, about 4:30, we got word that Amber had signed the papers. And in California, there's a zero revocation period. So once Amber signed the paper, she could not take the child back. So we met with a lawyer. We signed what we had to do. And then we left Redding and went back to Sacramento. Well, then the legal battles, or the legal lines between California and South Carolina, are open. We had to get approval in California that it was okay for them to allow us to take the child and leave. And then it's sent to South Carolina. South Carolina says, yes, it's okay for this child to come into South Carolina. Then it has to go back to California, and California say, okay, we believe what the judge in South Carolina says. And so had to go back and forth. And then finally on, and that can take up to 2 weeks because everything's FedEx back and forth and everything. But finally on Friday, the 20th, we were told that we could fly home with Addison. We let everyone know. And Brian Tracy and Paige's mom and dad and my parents met us at the airport in Nashville on Saturday. Needless to say, you know, nobody was excited when we got there. Nobody wanted to see the child or anything. We spent the night in Murfreesboro, and everybody got to spend time with Addison and just have that alone time. And then we came back on Sunday, stopped by my parents' house to let my brothers and sister-in-laws and nephew have chance to see Addison. Todd had been in that weekend. We met him in Atlanta and let him see Addison. He got to hold her and everything before he was gone for a while. Then we came home to Piedmont. Well, I just wanted to go home, but Paige wouldn't let me. We had to go by and see Miss Faye. And, you know, that was probably a mistake because I didn't think we were ever going to get that child back. I mean, Miss Faye loved that child. I'm sorry. You always hear people say, I could never love someone because it's not my biological child. And I would not take anything for Addison. But Miss Faye absolutely adored that child. And I can tell you, Addison loved her too. But that was an experience. And if you didn't know it, Miss Faye would let you know that that was her grandchild. And she was very proud of that little girl. And they spent their time together, and they had a great bond. And I'm just glad that she got to spend that time with Addison. And I know she was too. Then, really, the most stressful time of all came September 21st, 2007. That was the finalization hearing at the courthouse in Anderson. We got down there, we met with the lawyer, and then there's a guardian ad litem. And basically, you hand your child over to this guardian ad litem. And in effect, and you have to pay for this person to be there. And in effect, if the judge rules that you're unfit to be parents, this person takes this child away from you. So we met with a lawyer. He goes over what's going to happen in court. And one person has to take the stand. The judge is going to ask you all these questions. And then the second person comes up, and basically all they have to say is, yeah, whatever they said was true. Well, Paige makes me take the stand. And I told the lawyer, I said, I don't know that I can do this. I was so scared to death. My fear was we had come this far and had gone through so much. I mean, I make it sound like everything went so smooth, but there's stress every time you see a call from the adoption agency. You know, especially before the child's born, or is the birth mom backing out or whatever. But we get down there, and my fear was, we've gotten this far, and I'm going to say one thing that's going to be wrong, or the judge doesn't like, and he's going to take this child away from us. And that was my biggest fear. That was the most stressful day I think I've ever had in my life. And so I get through everything, and he calls Paige to the stand, and seriously, he goes, "Do you agree with all the statements that your husband said?" And she goes, "Yes." And he goes, "Okay, you can step down." And I'm serious. I mean, it was. And then he sits there and he talks for a couple of minutes. And then he says, "Okay, you can take your daughter home." That was the greatest day in our life, because we knew at that point that we had Addison from then on. And then the next day, we had an adoption celebration at our house. And we were blessed even more. I mean, I thought we were blessed before with just the adoption, but with the folks from the church, family, and other friends, we had over 99 people. Last count that we had, there was 99 people that came by to Addison's finalization celebration. So Addison and Paige and I were not just blessed with each other, but we were also blessed with the family and friends and our church family that supported us through this whole ordeal. And the final thing that I want to say, and I apologize for running over, but everybody just talks about how they, you know, talks about family, and we've had several people at doctor's offices that we've gone to for fertility treatments and things that said, "I could never love a child that, I just don't think I could love a child that wasn't mine." But I will tell you that a family is not made up of DNA. A family is made up of L-O-V-E. It's love that brings a family together and keeps a family together. It's not the DNA. And again, I want to thank you for allowing me to speak, and I apologize for running over. And thanks, everyone.
Say something here. And you know, I've got to say something smart. Thank you, because you just proved, all these people that tell me there's a trap door here and if I go too long I'm going to fall, it didn't happen. Thank you, Carrie, and thank you all. Thank you for your love and for your support and for your concern for each other, especially for this young child who has meant so much not only to her immediate family, but the smiles that she brings to so many others. You know, God adopts us and we don't have to go through all that lengthy process. God takes us. In spite of everything that we do, everything that we sometimes are or are not, God continues to share the love with us, but then God expects us to share that love with each other. You may know someone who wants to adopt. You may know someone who is in need of adoption. You may know someone who says, "I don't know what I can do." First of all, we pray with each other and we pray for each other. But secondly, you can, regardless of who we are, we can be adopted parents. There are children and there are youth who come to this church who play in our neighborhoods, who want to come but don't know how. And you can help them by bringing them. You can help them by, if you look, not on the budget sheet that was in the bulletin today, but the monthly financial statement, and on the back, in the designated area, there's a children's fund and there's a youth development fund. And among other things, those are intended to help children and youth who can't go to places that our children and youth might go, places that Chris would plan for them to go. And they cannot afford to. You can help by occasionally, in addition to your tithe, give a little money for one of those funds to help a child, a young person, to come and to be part of an outing from this place. And you're their adoptive parent, helping so that they too might come to know that we don't just do things in here and we don't just have to be quiet, but we live life together as God's children. And when as TJ comes in just a moment to lead you, I don't think you really need to open the hymnal. I want us to sing through the first verse twice to 185. And our altar is open for anyone who would like to make any decision. 185, Jesus loves me. Would you please stand?